Masechtas Trumas, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Hey. Garine Truma, the seeds of Truma fruit. So we discussed in the past that the only parts of Truma that have the halachas of Truma are only the edible parts, but unedible parts are not like the branches of the tree and stems that are not soft and not edible and so on and so forth. They don't have Truma, and generally seeds are not edible and they don't have Truma status. However, over here, the seeds of fruit of Truma, bismanshu mechansan, when the kain collects these seeds and he saves them with intention of eating them, then asuris, they're still going to be forbidden to a non-kain, because since he's treating them as if they're edible, so then and this is only midrabanan, the Rav explains, it's only exer midrabanan, since he's treating them as edible. If we don't give them truma status, people are going to think that even the fruit itself doesn't have truma status. So midrabanan, even the seeds themselves become asuris. The Rav says this is exclusively seeds that are somewhat edible b'shas avchak. They're moist, they're softer, and they're possible to eat. So in such a situation, midrabanan, if the kain is saving them for eating purposes, they have to be treated like truma. V'mishlichan, but if the kain throws them out and he's not planning on keeping them, then mutaris, they're permitted for a non-kain. They don't have any truma status. They can be thrown in the garbage. You don't have to have any truma concerns regarding these seeds. Mechain atzmeis hakadoshim. The same thing applies to bones of the kachim, the karbonis. So the meat of the carbon has special halachas that has to be eaten within a certain time. If it's not eaten within a certain time, it becomes nicer, leftovers, that has to be burnt. There's halachas that apply to the meat. Generally, they don't apply to the bones, which are inedible. However, it depends, the same exact dependency. Bismanchu mechansan asurim. If the person who's eating the carbon, he saves these bones with intention of eating them, then they become asurim, prohibited. They have the same restrictions as the meat itself, that he would have to eat them within a certain amount of time, otherwise they'd become nicer and he's going to have to burn them. The Rav again says that we're talking about bones that are actually possible to eat shasavchak, such as softer bones, cartilage. He says the tips of the wings of birds, these are softer and they can be eaten, and these types of things. When the person eating them saves them with intention to eat the bones, then they also become restricted by the same halachas as the meat. V'mishlichan, but if he's planning on throwing them out immediately, he's throwing away the bones, then mutarim, they're permitted, they're not bound by these restrictions because they're not edible and they're not like the meat. The Mishnah now continues discussing the halacha of bran, morsan and subin, bran. Bran is the shell around the kernel of wheat, and they would first beat the wheat and break off the larger pieces of this shell, this husk around the wheat. And then when they would grind it, the smaller pieces of this shell, this husk, would be sifted out. So there's the larger pieces, which the Mishnah refers to as morsan, and then there are the smaller pieces of the bran that are sifted out of the flour called subin. So the Mishnah, and none of the bran was eaten at all. And therefore, regarding truma status, none of the bran should have any truma status because it's not edible. So the Mishnah discusses hamorsan mutter. Morsan is the coarse bran, it's the larger pieces that they would beat off of the wheat kernels in the beginning of the process. These are mutter, they're permitted to an ankayan, they don't have truma status, people don't eat them. Subin shal chadashis asuris. Subin is the fine bran that's sifted out of the flour. Now that fine bran itself wouldn't be eaten, but if it's from chadashis, if it's from fresh grain, then asuris, it's going to be forbidden to a non-kayin, and this is because it still has flour from the grinding process, flour that's still clinging to this fine bran, and therefore the flour that's there is edible, and the flour is truma status, and the flour makes that this fine bran also can't be consumed by a non-kain. However, v'shal yishana is mutter, but the fine bran from older grain, that the flour has already been completely separated from it, so then it's mutter to a non-kain, because the bran itself is not edible, and as long as the flour completely is removed, it's there's no truma issue here whatsoever. The Rav says the difference between new and old grain is 30 days. If it sat and dried for 30 days, it's considered old grain. The Mishnah continues regarding sifting the bran from the truma flour. V'hanoig b'truma k'derek shu'noig b'chulin. He's allowed to sift out the bran from truma, just like by chulin, and he can discard the bran. He has to make sure there's no flour on it, but he can discard just the bran itself, and that's not a problem. He's not wasting from the truma. That's an inedible part. It's not a problem for the kohen to remove that part from the truma. However, the Mishnah discusses sifting the flour and making even a finer flour. Hamasales kav ikabayim lasa. Someone who makes salas. Salas is very fine flour. And he makes kav ikabayim lasa, one or two kavin out of a sa. A sa is six kavin. And he sifts it and resifts it until he gets it down to a finer flour, only one or two parts out of the six part. So here he has one or two out of the six parts of this sa that are very fine flour that he wants to eat, and the other parts, the other four or five parts, which is a cheaper quality flour, what should he do with it? So it's not like the husk, the bran that he's able to throw out over here. Lo ya'avid es hashar, you can't just throw out, destroy the leftovers. Even though it's lesser quality flour, it's still truma, it's still edible. He has to put it in a safe place, protected from becoming tameh, protected from a non-kohen eating it. It's still a truma, and it has to be treated appropriately, even though he's looking for the fine flour, but the lesser quality flour is still edible and still truma. Mishnah Vav. Megura shapina mimena chite truma. If someone has a storeroom that he cleared out all the truma that was storing there, to make room for the next load of wheat that's coming in, he had a load of truma wheat kernels in there that he cleared out, and now he wants to put in a chulin. Ein mechayven, I say, liyas yeshe v'malaket achas achas. We don't require him to sit and pick up each individual kernel on the floor and make it spotlessly clean from not a single kernel of truma wheat. El mechavet kedarke, he just has to sweep it out like he normally does, even though normally he... when he's cleaning out regular chulin wheat, if there's little kernels behind, he's not going to be concerned and try to get every one. He's just going to do a basic sweeping job. Here, he can do the same regular basic sweeping job by truma, v'neisim l'techa chulin, and then he can fill up the storeroom with chulin grain, and we're not concerned about the possibility of a few kernels being left behind of truma, because there's bittul, there's nullification, he's going to be putting large quantities of chulin, and if there's a little teeny bit of truma, it's not a problem. Here, they were even lenient, the Mefarshim say, as long as there's two parts. Even though normally you need 100 times chulin to one part truma, here they're more lenient, and they said even two parts chulin to one part truma is good enough, because they didn't require him to be OCD about removing every single individual kernel of truma from the storeroom. And although one is not allowed to intentionally take truma and nullify it in a majority of chulin, here that's not his intentions. He's not intentionally coming with an agenda to nullify the truma. Rather, his agenda is just to store his chulin in the room, and therefore it's not a problem putting chulin on top of the truma kernels.